Hello again, Perfect Bites listeners. It's Lucifer here, giving a big shout out to my good friends Mark and James for their continued coverage of the worldwide IT disasters and outages. There are times when I wish I could take credit for all those impressive crashes of ticket websites in the UK, Indian Airlines sales promotions, aging rock and roll hipsters, and student test results. That one always gets me, because you know it's just that static content that they could cache in the CDN, right, dude? Come on. Anyway, love the work you guys are doing. Don't forget to send a pair of those Perf Bites shoes right after this week's edition of The News of the Damned.
Can you dig it?
Wow. Same guy is still being tortured. You hear that? It's time for News of the Damned, the first one of 2015. James Bully, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing really well, Mark. How are you?
I'm great. And the good news is it's only been, maybe 2 weeks since we did the last News of the Damned right there around the end of the year. There's already a handful of sites that are crashing, including one of our faves, UK Online.
You know, Mark, I have a feeling this is going to be a two cannoli year.
What do you mean, two cannolis?
Well, it's much better than one cannoli.
I doubt you not on that.
You know, when we're looking for really good, rich, interesting, tasty stories, I think this is going to be a two cannoli year. I can just feel it.
No, it's the Godfather. Take the gun. Leave the cannoli.
Yeah. It's like here, you know, take your pistol, you know, have a cannoli type of thing.
No, we're not.
I'm not really trying to make the mob reference, but, you know, okay, if you want to go there, that's fine.
We're not associated in any way, shape, or form with organized crime. We may inadvertently be making fun of people who are crashing websites as part of organized crime, but that's not really our thing. Take the CDN. Leave the cannoli. Anyway, this News of the Damned is going to be a little bit different. We've turned over a new leaf in News of the Damned, which is good. We've actually sat together and did a little bit of research with a tool, one of my favorite web performance tools, GT Metrics. You can find them at gtmetrics.com. And we actually have some investigation of at least the website page, and we'll talk about some of the deadly sins in Steve Souter's lands that are being committed on these, which would be pretty cool.
So Mark, I think we need to start off with something from Petar. This comes from Allstate social media campaign, crashes a website during a bowl game.
It was during the entire game. They came up with this really, you know, the ads with Allstate with the funny guy who always pretends I am mayhem or and he crashes, he falls out of a tree.
I love that guy. We should get a I am web crash.
Exactly. Same guy in the ad campaign. They spoofed an arrangement where these people went to the bowl game and they started posting all these pictures from the bowl game. And of course they're actors or whatever. It's all a complete shtick. It's all for advertising. I think so many people thought it was real. They went and crashed this mayhem sale, the fake website where the guy broke into their house because he saw they were away at the bowl game.
Yeah.
And stole all their stuff and started selling it online. And you can still go see the page, first of all, it's a hell of a stunt. Because it'll stop a lot of people from posting anything at a bowl game.
So, Mark, did you get anything good?
I think I got a pair of barbecue tongs for $1.
Ah, cool.
Yeah. I mean, it was ridiculous. Some of this, the stuff that they wrote, whoever's got the sense of humor behind this thing is really freaking hilarious. You can get to the site. It's back up now, you know, so many days later. But
from a business perspective, if the site goes down, what's the benefit of your marketing message?
There is no marketing message. Like, it's all pinned, all the tweeting and the whole premise is based on the fact that this guy broke into your house while you're away, stole all your stuff, set up a website. And I'm thinking, if they never worked in IT, I mean, how long does it take to create a for sale website? No criminal is going to actually, first I have to sit down before I do my crime. I'm going to learn JavaScript. No, forget JavaScript. I'll learn Groovy. No, I need a shopping cart. I'll do a persistent shopping cart for the, yeah, exactly.
It all goes to eBay.
On the back end. It's an eBay store. There you go. See, that would be pretty good. Yeah, but this was a custom website. But yeah.
So you wound up having to buy from State Farm or Nationwide?
Well, they don't. Their people are not stupid. They don't post their pictures at bowl games. So, you know, they're customers. Oh,
no. What I'm saying is, if, you know, they got you right at that point where you're going to spend money to buy the insurance, and then their site is not available, well, what do you do? You go to the competitor?
Go to the competitor. Or at the same time, it just freaked me out about ever posting pictures when I'm away from home.
True.
Exactly.
So Mark, you had an opportunity to go and take a look at this site.
Yes.
And see what technical sins they've been committing that actually led to this issue. Now, we know some of it is load related. That is, this point load of all these users coming, thinking they were going to get a bargain and things of that nature. But you actually found some sinful behavior on the site as well.
So what we did is we opened up the site in GT Metrics, and it gets you the grade. It's sort of a meta. Remember Metacrawler? It was sort of the meta web performance optimization analysis grading. Page speed, Y slow, and some of the others are all under one umbrella. So I just throw in the URL for the Mayhem site. And of course, no surprise on all of these in News of the Damned. Everyone in some way, shape, or form gets an F on something. But GT Metrics also has an E. If it's not quite an F, you can have an E.
E is, does that mean easy?
E for, errant. With any marketing site you can imagine, there are the biggest, the F that they got, 50% of the images had no dimensions specified. So it had to render specifically all of that. So if they're getting specify image dimension violations on the front end of the page, They're not getting the right sized images for the right sized thing sent through the CDN, etc., or even going with a little bit lower resolution and managing. For all we know, some of these things were huge, and they weren't serving any scaled images. That was another one, 81% score on that one. 87% was removing query strings from the static resources. So they did have static resources, but they're getting processed by like dynamic resources. Again, it takes me maybe a minute of my time to go run this and then hand it in to somebody and say, guys, before we go live, can you fix this?
Yeah. You really should pre-scale those things to whatever you're going to use it for on the website. Get the right image map for colors. Mm-hmm. Get it all done so you don't even have to scale it. So even if you're not going to include sizing information, it's sized correctly and it's color optimized.
Yeah. So if it's a marketing thing, two Fs and an E for the Mayhem site. And by the way, think twice before you tweet on your vacation.
So Mark, the next one is really interesting because it involves integrations with a third party.
Yes.
And this is the New York's ID card program. So this is a new initiative from the new mayor of New York City. It said, I'm going to get you an ID. Yes. So you can do all the things that an ID allows you to do.
Buy stuff.
Whatever those things are. Right. Except that you can't use it to go in a government building or fly on an airplane or stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like a junior ID.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it also would identify you, let's say speaking of New York City, if you got stopped and frisked. Not that they do that anymore, but at least you could say, here's my ID.
I always enjoy that. I always look for the rather attractive officer, the female persuasion.
Sure.
And, you know, she's always, never mind.
For some people, that's harassment. But for you, James, you know, it's opportunity, really.
Hey, it's wherever you can find your thrills.
All right.
You know.
So what happened with this site? What'd they do?
So this is an integration with a third party solution set. And Mark, I believe you identify the third party solution provider, which is
appointment-plus.com. Appointment plus.
Appointment-plus.com. So what happens is you come to the website and you want to make an appointment so you get your ID card, and then it redirects you to Appointment Plus. And at that point, the entire universe, time slows to a
you stop.
Crawl.
And I have to say, going through the ID New York City website, when you come in to make an appointment now, there's a big red message right in front of you above the book now. And it says, due to tremendous response for the program, our appointment scheduling system is running slowly. If unavailable, please try scheduling an appointment later. So we're slow. Deal with it. And it's all Appointment Plus's fault. And actually, what's funny is there's the big Book Now button, which is a totally different font. It's clearly something from the partner.
Yeah.
It says powered by Appointment Plus. And I think they should change a couple things in their tag there, which would be like underpowered by Appointment Minus.
I went out and looked at the Appointment Plus website and their premise for how they're marketing and things of that nature.
Yes.
And they seem to be clearly organized under the principle of not a whole lot of people using the site at the same time.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have a whole lot of a collision domain here. Like if you're making a doctor's office appointment, if you're making an appointment to attend a conference, all of these things are pretty chaotic in nature where you have users coming together and the opportunity for coincident activity is really small.
Yeah.
Here you had pent up activity and you had a defined point in time, which was announced through the news organizations, when you could go online and sign up for an ID.
Yeah.
So you had this point load situation, which is it appears to run counter to the business model of Appointment Plus, not likely something that they ever planned for or have tested for. Clearly, it doesn't say that they support concerts, as an example, you know, at the will call ticket office where you go and pick up your tickets. So this is clearly a combination of you probably picked the wrong solution for the type of appointments and the volume and the pent up demand and everything that goes together. Appointment Plus may not be a bad solution, but it was a bad match for the need in this case.
Yeah, which means some new salesperson at Appointment Plus who's going to take the company to the next level, you know, believed all the hype on their page about we've done Super Bowls and we've done this for 10 years and da da da. Well, 10 years is 2005. You know what?
Well, you know what? If you consider the number of people who are signing on, if they get a couple of cents for the salesperson for every person who uses it,
yeah, oh geez,
you know that person's going to be driving a new Bentley down to City Hall to see how it's going.
I hit the Book Now button, and this is just to take you to the first page in Appointment Plus's site, and literally it's a minute and 45 seconds just to open the first page. And the only thing that's on that page is basically blank with a drop down that doesn't appear to work. The other thing that gets me about this is certainly everyone's calling the New York City municipal ID people to say, hey guys, what's up with this crash site? And they're going after the city for this, which is reasonable, right? Their IT guys made the decision to go with Appointment Plus. But yep. They, you know, clearly when the city calls up and says, hey, Appointment Plus, what's going on with the thing? You know, what's in the statement that they put on their site as some news site, some clip, some spokesperson said, it's unclear exactly when the site went down or when it would return. It was also not clear what caused the problem. And I'm thinking to myself, that is the most polished way to translate what the guy at Appointment Plus told the city. Because he's just like, I don't know. What terrible things.
I do believe the software as a service solution, Appointment Plus, likely needs some performance engineering as a service to help them out.
Yes, let's help them. Good Lord. You could just hook them up with your stuff, LightSquare. Just analyze. This looks to me to be a session creation queuing issue, which is very similar to some other tech ticket sites.
I think also that they probably don't have a shopping cart, but they have some sort of object that they're allocating immediately upon your arrival, even before you are to the point where you're going to commit to your appointment.
Yeah. Or they put a throttle on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I while this is not a shopping cart, an early allocation of shopping cart issue, I think this is clearly an early allocation of some sort of commitment object that carries the appointment information. So instead of simply allocating a blank form and using some really lightweight variable to carry the information, they're very likely issuing some sort of session object all the way from their their database server through Java, through the front end, as soon as they present a form for people to fill out. So this early allocation is really what's killing their performance.
That it's a good hint that it's something happening on the back end, though, because the front end, even though the front end had five Fs from page speed, the truth be told, it could be that they're either just throttling something because they know they can't handle the load, so they put some limitation on concurrent sessions and you sit in a wait loop. Or it's a slow SQL query, like you point out. You're just setting up a session and querying. They may be not caching a view of the schedule because, you know, you got the, yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, GT Metrics on the front end, they scored a 42 and an F. News of the damned.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I love it. So, again, not using browser caching. And mind you, the page that I was loading has nothing on it. It's like one drop down and that's it. So I, you know, I can't really fault them for the fact that they didn't cache that one thing. But their JavaScript isn't minified. They don't use gzip compression at all. The CSS is a mess. There's also some accepting coding header stuff that they failed on. They got an F. They got a C in YSlow, but they got an F in page speed. So surprise again. We get that. There you go. Yes.
So Mark, a new year would not be complete without a
crashing UK ticket website.
Yeah,
exactly.
Woo-hoo! It's our favorite island nation and our favorite type of product sale. Once again, here we had an artist, looks like a saxophone artist, PJ Harvey, was going to record her next album on a specially commissioned space that was designed by an organization called Something and Sons. So essentially you could get tickets to this event, kind of a live recording of the next album. It goes online, you know, £15 is the price. And amazingly, Mark, we had a UK ticket website crash. It's so unusual.
Isn't that unusual? Well, you've got the hype, and you've got people in the music industry, in the tickets and music industry stuff. The idea that, again, you got one organization that's promoting everything, and then another organization that's supposed to drive everything to the site. It's very similar to Allstate. It's similar to any of the other ticket sales. It's like, hey, I promoted over here and then go over there to sign up for tickets, like with Ticketmaster.
But this is not entirely different than what we just talked about for the NYC ID program. It's a point load issue. That is, you have tickets are going on sale at point X. We have limited availability. You have an interested audience, which is larger than the number of tickets available, and they are motivated to come to the site as quickly as possible.
Exactly. And what could go wrong? We're in the UK. What could go wrong?
I don't know. I don't know, Mark.
I don't know. Well, I'll tell you what they did wrong. They got two Fs. These guys did pretty good generally. But again, it's a marketing-heavy initiative, so the biggest thing was optimizing images. These guys had big, fat images and high priority, very easy to fix. Just take a few seconds and don't wait until the last minute. Oh, we're going to go with this picture of the photo shoot of the thing in the high res, and boom, they're sending it out in desktop resolution or something on a website that renders it, you know, small like a thumbnail.
Also, very simply, involve the CDN. I don't think they have a really good CDN solution available to them, or they opted not to, or yeah, something. Just offloading even all of the dirty stuff that hits your website, and, you know, a really unoptimized design. Yep. If you put it in the CDN, at least the CDN takes that load, and your core website, your origin server, is left to take the actual booking of the ticket.
Yep. And this site is loaded with CSS, so they're not using sprites of any kind. So they're not combining any of the images using sprites. They haven't inlined any of the small CSS. They got multiple CSS round trips.
Yeah,
minifying the CSS. And my guess is, without minifying any of that, this is lengthy, messy code, if it's as messy as it looks. And none of it is cached anywhere because they're still violating the leverage browser caching.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the C's and F's across the board for PJ Harvey's Something and Sons. That's not good. Now, the next one, James, I dig, just because the write-up of this, the whole idea for this next one is, I think, freaking hilarious. It's fantastic.
Mark, I think this is my favorite one for this News of the Damned. sendyourenemyglitter.com. Hold on, not send. It's shipyourenemiesglitter.com.
Yes.
And I got to tell you that there's one comment here on the website that I just have to repeat verbatim because it's so freaking funny. We hate glitter. People call it the herpes of the craft world. What we hate more, though, are the soulless people who get their jollies off by sending glitter in envelopes. This person needs to write for Comedy Central.
Yeah. Now, the site goes on a little bit more colorful language. But unfortunately, the day that they really launched this thing, you wouldn't have got a chance to read it because the site crashed and there was glitter all over the data center floor.
Exactly. This is one of those classical viral site issues,
yep.
Except it doesn't involve prancing about as if you are an equine.
Yeah, it's not like a Slashdot. These guys knew they were putting something out that would be funny, and they knew it was funny enough it was going to take off, and they put it in different social media channels, so it just went, and it made it really easy.
Yep.
But again, they charge, what, $10?
$10 to send essentially a glitter bomb where they put a bunch of glitter folded in with a note from you in an envelope, so when someone opens it, basically glitter goes everywhere, and you'll be finding glitter for months.
Can you imagine if the website crashed, if it weren't the website's fault, which we think it might still be the website's fault.
I'm actually picturing a server going poof and actually putting out a big cloud of glitter.
Glitter. Actually, you could just kind of drop it through the fans and it would come spitting out the back end of the server everywhere. That would be nice. But honestly, you get 100 people paying $10 a piece, you know, and if you could test this website to support, you know, hey, guys, we're going to make $10 a piece, but you can't even support 10 people.
I know.
You know, forget it. I mean, you and I could have tested this site just to give them some tips because according to GT Metrics, guess what? They got Fs. They got really bad Fs. These guys got like a 35% grade from page speed. And again, marketing initiative, scaled images. They didn't serve any scaled images. They didn't use compression whatsoever. They didn't leverage any of the browser caches. All the headers are completely whacked. Encoding is completely screwed up. The accept encoding header is screwed up. And again, a small amount of CSS on the site.
They put it up as a lark. They didn't think it would go anywhere. And it took on a life of its own. And then it's like that they glitter bombed themselves, essentially.
Honestly, they could have delivered the entire front page on a simple static HTML.
Sure.
But no, I mean, the guys that did this, well, we're going to use, you know, something hip and new and sexy and whatever they learned, you know, from the kids down the corner. It's just these new rich front end technologies. You have to do some web performance analysis to get them to scale.
They used DroomPress.
All right. Nice.
Droomla Press. Great. Yeah.
Yeah. That's top notch stuff there, boy. Who knows where they hosted it?
Yeah.
And definitely not Elastic. I mean, the simplest thing on such a simple site like this, set up elasticity, you know, in the platform. Just put it on Amazon, put it on Rackspace, just stretch this thing out.
You know, if you're going to do this, just put it on the free tier for Amazon, AWS, and make it Elastic. So if something like this happens, not only do you take advantage of the built-in Amazon caching engine that they have, and plus they will replicate it all over the world as load comes in, but you can expand to handle the load, and then you can contract as soon as it's done.
Yes.
Now it might cost you a little bit. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, at $10 per glitter bomb, you know, you're making real money here.
Yeah, and nobody's going to come back to Glitter Bomb 2.0 because, you know, it's a fad. It's a one-time thing. And then, I already heard that. That's very funny. No way I'm spending $10.
Yeah.
The moment has passed. So, James, the next one is, I know, one of your favorite artists.
Okay, this is the most confusing, probably the most disturbing news of the damned we've had since Prancercise and Joanna Rohrbach.
It's
I cannot figure it out.
I can hardly figure out how to say the guy's name correctly.
I'm I'm I promise not to go into a giggle fit on this one.
Buble.
But
Buble.
Okay. So
Michael Buble.
So we have the artist Michael Buble.
Buble. Yeah, it's a, there's a hatch mark.
Michael Bubble. Whatever. You know, Michael Buble.
Bubbly. Mr. Bubbly. Bubbly. Yes.
Mr. Champagne. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
So we have this artist, Michael Champagne. And
Buble.
He's going to do a concert in Dubai.
Buble Dubai. Buble.
Okay. Buble
Dubai. Buble Dubai. Buble Dubai.
And there's such demand, or there's enough. Okay, you see, here's the really confusing part, Mark. There is such pent-up demand in Dubai that Michael Buble. Yeah.
Mr. Buble.
Mr. Buble, bubbly, whatever, champagne.
Buble Dubai.
He manages to crash a ticketing website.
In Dubai.
In Dubai.
Yes.
Now, we have some theories about this. We think that there may be a UK connection because of some of the notices that have been sent out.
Yeah.
And this might explain why a Dubai website crashed with an artist of such renown as Michael Buble.
Buble Dubai. So here's the scoop. First of all, these guys... One issue I think they did is, like any ticketing site, they send out a specific time and a link that said, come to this website at this time and hammer us, right? They didn't say going on sale in the morning, but they, you know, to make it quote unquote fair. This is a big thing that, you know, Ticketmaster actually works a lot at making sure that there's fairness and windows of, you can't block seats that you're not going to buy and, you know, all these kind of things. So It's a good challenge from a technical, actually from an ACID compliance end-to-end transaction kind of thing, if you really think about that. But these guys, obviously the site goes down and they're apologizing all over the place. And on the Twitter feed, which is the Timeout Tickets, which is the main vendor that was doing this, you know, there's a couple different things. Hey, we're really sorry. Massive demand for Mr. Buble's tickets caused technical issues.
Hey. There's you know, one problem that is hard to reconcile. But I have a theory on that. We'll get back to
you. He may be popular with the ladies, or you know, you know.
I've got a theory on that. We'll come back to it.
Like Tom Jones, who knew that guy? He's like a sex symbol.
Hey. Tom Jones is the man.
Yeah, but the giveaway here is this following tweet. We are temporarily closing ticket sales for the Michael Buble concerts whilst we work on fixing a couple of technical issues.
That whole thing on the whilst.
Whilst. That whoever wrote that tweet is from the UK. That's our guess. Because I've never heard anyone in America use the word whilst.
Nor Australia.
Australia, which would be a close cousin, or Canada. You know, even the French don't come up with whilst.
I have heard an onion say this, you know, from Bermuda. they call themselves, you know, onions, you know, Bermudians. You know, I have heard an onion.
Yes.
Say the term whilst. I think they were a British expatriate.
So given the track record for UK ticket sales, we think that Mr. Buble, who is... So the guys at Timeout Tickets, they went through, apologized, 2 days worth of messing up stuff, and yeah, it was just a mess. But whilst they are working on a few other issues,
so Mark, my theory actually involves the use of automated agents specifically set up to go against the website and attempt to buy tickets for resale.
Were they blue blots?
Ooh. Boy, that's a mouthful.
Do Buble blue blot bot buy Dubai's?
We'll call them DB bots after DB Cooper. You know, Dubai Buble bots, you know, DB bots.
Blue blots.
And here is something that anyone who has a spot sale website can really take advantage of.
Point sale.
Bots have a fingerprint or pattern of their behavior. in this case where they actually suspended sales and they had an extended period of time where they could have taken a look at what was going on in their request universe before they restarted, they could have actually gone to look to see which were the high IP addresses in their web logs, and they could have looked at the pattern of behavior associated with those high IP addresses.
Yeah, frequency of hits, yeah.
Well, it's not only frequency of hits, but it's what actual requests they're making.
Oh, yeah. Mechanical, repeated, same sequence, everything, yeah.
Exactly. That those mechanical requests are very different structurally than requests coming from a natural user. A natural user will include other elements in the request stream that a bot will not, because a bot is really only interested in one thing. Although, you know, as disturbing as it is, this one thing was Michael Bublé tickets in this case. But you could fingerprint the pattern of behavior. And you could actually go to your firewall administrator and say, okay, I have this pattern of behavior that if we see this type of request set coming within this frequency, I want you to block this IP address for a random period of time, call it, you know, 30 seconds, 5 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever you want that random period to be, or random. And that will give the actual users of the site an opportunity to come in.
Yep.
So the IP address might actually change. You know, they might, you know, stage it in Amazon. They might stage it in Amazon, Microsoft Cloud Azure, Rackspace, whatever. They're just looking for CPU capacity to just burn the bots as fast as possible.
I agree. I think that you got to get your bot play blue blots game plan on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I guess this is for the millions or tens or whatever, however number of women in Dubai that, yes, you know, like Mr. Champagne.
There you go. Could be men or women alike. That's not a problem. Now, I will say, according to the analysis of the website, when you actually get to buying tickets there, they didn't do so bad. They just got a C. But again, serving resources from a consistent URL, so potentially they were trying to scale things out by sort of ripping things apart, so that spoils all the caching. You haven't got your sharding strategy put together correctly. Or also, simple images, combining images and putting those things together if you're using CSS. Those were both failures on this site, but they I think they have a scale-out solution that does not work. And that's my inclination from looking at GT Metrics. There's one other one we might mention here from our good friend Tim Western. If you see him posting on the Perf Bytes page or we share some stuff on Twitter with him, there was kind of a strange one that happened out here from Verizon, but it was an outage. But what do you think is happening? The Verizon warns of an enterprise cloud user, so there's a corporate customer is using the cloud, I'm guessing, of a contiguous 48-hour shutdown. What the heck are they doing?
I don't know, but for one, I know this is going to pose problems for the site that shall not be named because it is hosted in the Verizon cloud.
For all we know, that's what they're doing, trying to fix something.
Or maybe this is right after the end of the enrollment period, you know, so, you know, they're not shutting it down during the enrollment period. But a 48-hour outage is a structural problem.
Yeah. No, it's
that they need to address. It may be a pipe issue that, you know, they need to repipe something. But it is a structural problem. It's not necessarily in the services layer. It's an infrastructure piece.
But here's what I think is unique about this. And thanks to Tim for putting this out there, because he tags things as news of the damned quite frequently. This one, I think, is, even though it's not an accidental suffering or a crash, you're still really screwing it. Like all sorts of news people were like, what does Verizon think they can get away with? What are these guys doing? Now, it may be really, really important that they do this. But you think Verizon has enough data centers to do like rolling restarts or what? This has got to be some core infrastructure thing. I think you're right. But you can still be damned on the news of the damned, even if you don't crash accidentally. These guys are taking themselves out voluntarily. But even the world of people who don't know IT are like, you're going to be, I'll be out of my email for 2 days. You're only going for four nines this year, not five nines. Cause that they're done with five nines. They got four nines. That's it.
Well, you know, this is a scheduled outage, so maybe it doesn't go against the five nines. One thing that this brings to mind is that Netflix got caught by this and having such a high dependency upon one cloud provider.
Yeah.
I think it was several years ago. They had a major outage because a lot of their data was stored in Amazon, and there was like a one data center outage or something. And they took steps after that point to actually spread their load across multiple providers. And here is a good opportunity that if you have decided, hey, we're going to run everything in the cloud, can you afford a 48-hour outage? Maybe if it's on a weekend and you're not an e-commerce site and it's only infrastructure pieces, you know, we kind of enforce a weekend for people. But very few organizations can afford this.
Yeah.
Very few.
Yeah. This was planned for the 10th. So we're talking Saturday, Sunday. It was sort of on the weekend.
So Verizon, you know, was a little cognizant of their efforts, but I would have actually pushed it more towards the weekend right after the new year, because most people were coming back to work on the 5th.
Yeah.
And, you know, quite frankly, they were still in vacation mode after New Year's going into that weekend.
I'm too hungover to email anyway, really.
I have a rule, Mark. Alcohol and email do not mix. It's kind of like alcohol and gunpowder. It's almost as explosive.
I agree. It's very bad. So that's the news of the damned here, the first one in January 2015. James, thank you, as always, for finding these interesting, compelling things. And
Mark, thank you for the analysis. I think this was great.
We will do more of the web performance analysis because we can go a little deeper and people can do it themselves. They go check that stuff out. Special thanks to our sponsors, SmartBear. Actually, there's a bunch of other sponsors that are signing up with us, so we'll talk about them, you know, in the next episode or something. And shout out to Howard Chorney, our other guest host, who's not available this evening to join us.
But, Ocho,
exactly. He's at the big Sosta. Performance is everywhere. Performance is everything,
and
it's everywhere.
I want to point out that we now have split intros from both Satan and Lucifer. So
yes.
Thank you very much. You know, we'll give Satan a little bit of a rest. And Lucifer, thank you for the intro. And shoes are on the way. Ha 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 ha